essays. Some people have interviewed people, but I say I'm deputizing you. I don't have a badge to get out, but interview other people because there are so many stories of interesting things people have done that we are like it's a publication place. When people put things on the internet, it becomes evergreen. Our podcast is also among the platforms that it's on. It's on YouTube, not the visual, YouTube, just the words. So you make a statement, ways that we make a statement about some of these assumptions is when Leslie talks about Japan and what she learned about the bathwater. And Dr. Ramona talks about people gathering and some of the customs at the holiday time. So I'm just encouraging each of you, particularly this month, but June and July, we're going to be experimenting with either even more ways of communicating across the digital divide, and also being advocates for the people who say, no, I don't ever want to use a computer. I was at one of the senior meetings at For a Woman when a woman said, I don't want to go on the internet. They still need to keep a system where you can go in an office and see a person. It could be an older person. These people that people have retired at 65 could be people sitting at a special desk giving people information that they were always accustomed to giving. So I think using our voices and pushing back about these practices, as Rosemary has noted them down, these can be things that we can meet. Zoom allows for small groups of people to meet and plan and do things in a way that it might not have happened when everything was meeting face to face. So I encourage you to instigate, meet, talk about these things, and push back because if no one says anything, then they do just assume, oh, older people, older women, they don't, they're passive, it doesn't bother them. You don't dance, as that woman said. If you don't dance in an uncommon place or when people expect you to sit and be quiet, then they just say, oh, it's okay. You can just treat that person as if they don't exist.
On the other hand, some of us get to the point where we say, hey, that's just the way the world is. There's no point in getting upset about it.
Not so much getting upset, but get creative because the poem, we're going to have a poem that you share, but the power of poetry. We've talked about, Rudyard Kipling, so many poets, Sojourner Truth. Sojourner Truth was a black woman, suffragette. Most people just talk about her as a suffragette, but she was also a spy. And one of her quotes was, stimulate to educate, let the children live. It's a great advocate for children being sold away. Her children, while she, one of her children was sold away while she was out working in the suffragette movement. So, but she, by speaking, there are people now who are picking up stories of Sojourner Truth and children who are writing stories. I'm attending today, there's a conference of women in publishing, and a lot of people are writing children's stories and getting some of the issues and concerns, or they have grandparents that they're encouraging to tell stories or read stories. So it's not our time to sit down. We who are vocal and creative can put things into stories. So, Neil, do you want to share your poem?
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. This poem is called Who Is She to You? Who is she to you? A mother who deserves your respect because she is your mother, the bearer and entry point into your existence. Who is she to you? A wife, a life partner, a lover, an advocate, someone who's got your back while you and her try to sort through all the pitfalls and convolutions of a relationship. Who is she to you? A daughter who merits your unconditional love. Not because she's perfect, but because unconditional love will teach her to love herself. Who is she to you? A sister who is there to drive you batty and to suffer together the experience of the truly crazy-making parents that you share. Who is she to you? A teacher who treated you with kindness when your playground experience was crumbling down around your ears. Who is she to you? the sales clerk who's had a difficult day with a world of kids, bosses, and God knows what, who deserves your patience because she's got a crummy job with crummy pay, and she's there to serve you. Who is she to you? She is someone who's been insulted, verbally abused, sexualized at a young age, and physically threatened at some time in her life just because she's female. Who is she to you? A person who deserves nothing less than your full respect as an equal human being with full rights to say yes or no and have those choices heard and respected. That's who she is to you. End of poem.
Nice.
It's speechless because it's so powerful. It spoke to each of the things that Rosemary was pointing out of the desexualization, lack of appreciation. It really spoke to each of those things powerfully.
So I unfortunately do have to leave you all, but I was just thinking about, I think it was Neil's remark about being in the elevator recently and having someone express shock that he had car keys in his hands. I just want to say that my father, who used to drive in rallies as a young man, at the age of 88 is still driving. And he got himself one of those little minis that reminds him, not the mini, the Fiat, the little tiny Fiat cars. That reminds him of the Mini Cooper they used to take really tight corners on hills in rallies. And his driving is impeccable. He passes the driver's test every year. One of the things he does best. And he's still alive and kicking and going strong. So I will never be shocked that my father is still driving. I will become worried when he isn't.
Yeah, we have a couple of people that drive to the 411 center that are in their 80s and, you know, never had a ticket even. So this assumption that, you know, we're not good drivers, far fewer accidents happen in our age group than happen in other age groups. You know?
That's true. And another aspect, I'll just drop this one before I leave, is when I used to work at a church, there were a lot of church functions or meetings, especially for administrative purposes, you know, volunteers and stuff. And another way that ageism, or not even deliberate discrimination, but just not thinking about it, kind of played into the scheduling of these meetings is often they were scheduled at times, they were either scheduled during the day when the only people who could attend were seniors. So working people in the congregation were completely left out of any opportunity to participate in certain functions, or they were held after work hours in the early evening when some seniors who are challenged by night blindness couldn't drive to the church. And in both instances, it was the clergy who had to remind people in the congregation that you have to think of everybody in the congregation when you're scheduling a meeting and what everyone's needs and capacities are, and not just your peer group. And that really, when he led us in that teaching, that really expanded the participation of all the church members at various levels of the community. And that I think is going to be my last bit.
Yeah, I think with return to meetings, it gives all of us opportunity to express things like that. People need to find times that work for everyone. And also, a thought within our meeting, when we have these long periods of sitting, we have to do some moving. So I'm going to put on our motion and movement. And it's a song that connects to Women's Month. But did anyone else have a comment about Neil's poem before we go to that music? And we want to thank you so much, Rosemary, for taking time to call. And thank you for being someone that brings a lot of she praises the volunteers that have been at 411 for some years, working on the tax clinic that's going to be opening next week.
Monday at 10 a.m. But our clinic is Monday to Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It starts this coming Monday, March the 7th, and runs through April the 28th. And you can give us a call at 111 for an appointment. The phone number for 411 is 604-684-8171. And another feature where we combat ageism and encourage participation, our phones are answered by human beings. So there's no prompts, no push, this, that. That is often one of the reasons why we get people coming into INR. It's not because they don't know how to make a phone call. It's not because they don't understand how CPP works. It's because they can't get through because of all the prompts. So our human beings answer our phones, and the receptionist who answers the phone will be happy to book you an appointment for your income tax.
Rosemary, I didn't just oppose you to you. So thank you for it's good to see you again.
Thank you. I always enjoy your poems. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks, dear.
Have a good afternoon, everyone.
Okay, that girl is on fire. This girl is on fire.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you.
So although Rosemary is leaving, I'm going to ask you to stand up, move to this song.
Okay.
She's just a girl and she's on fire. Oh. Hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire. Filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got both feet on the ground and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds and she's not backing down. This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. She's walking on fire. This girl is on fire. Looks like a girl, but she's a flame. So bright she can burn your
now we have our cardio up.
Thank you.
That was fun.
That was a lovely song.
was Alicia Keys. And what I like about that one, all of the images, it shows so many roles, her with the kids.
That's what I noticed too.
I hope I don't sound out of breath. I belong to almost every Zoom group now is working toward at least having a 3 to 5 minutes where people get up and move during the hour, because when we're sitting, we are mashing, you know, there's veins in our thighs that need to have blood, and so we're cutting off the oxygen. So getting up and dancing, it also helps toward the steps. My brother, in working and overcoming diabetes, did 10,000 steps a day, and I was struggling trying to make 1,000, but I found a record, a song.
Frozen.
It's about a step every minute. So I did 350. So I thought, if 4 times a day I play a record and I dance, then, you know, I might not get to 10,000, but it'll be closer than if I just sit all day.
Share that. What song would that be?
It's called This Girl Is on Fire.
Okay.
By Alicia Keys.
And is that the one that you dance to?
Oh, no, I put different things on, because, you know, if you go on YouTube and you just type in YouTube music, uh-huh, and you say, I've been saying Caribbean jazz, reggae jazz, I found some fabulous music. And now there's another site called Xcite. And Xcite, it's a platform like Crave. I don't even know how I got it. I was searching and this thing came up. But what it is, it's music and it's images. So sometimes it's pictures people took, different from most things when you see an audience, you know, performers on the stage, everything is just videotaping that. This, some people have got kaleidoscope pictures, they've got water, they've got all kinds of things that go with the music. So it shows how a lot of people who might have a studio in their home, and people wouldn't make a video of them and they'd say, oh, you have to go to this place and you pay $2,000 to use the space. A lot of people who've got a perfectly good home studio, the images over it are just really, they're exciting. And this platform is called Xcite. But just any kind of music that you like, you can find it on YouTube and then you can dance to it or move to it.
Yeah, that's more motivating.
Mm-hmm. So next week, we will be continuing our focus. Next week is a particular type of economic bias, and that is around entrepreneurship. As Rosemary said, there's this notion that people should retire at 65. I am the oldest client in the Midtown Work BC office. When I moved into Vancouver from LA, I had retired, you know, from teaching, but I still need to work. There's an assumption that everybody doesn't have a job that enables them to cost, you know, pay for the, this is the second most unaffordable city in the world. We heard last week that there's a 5-year wait for some of the supportive housing, that people are on the list. And then there's some things that you have to, for a co-op, you have to have a minimum income of $30,000. So a lot of people need to work, and they need to work doing other things besides, some people said they sit, you know, do pet sitting. As each of you, in the ways that you speak and have written things or poems, you have a lot of knowledge. We've been showing we are reservoirs of knowledge, so it should be possible to get jobs where we're consulting on doing things related to the reservoirs of knowledge. So these things that you record to go on to our spins are just the tip of the iceberg in showing that off. So I'm encouraging you to think of things as we come for June and July. We want us to become even more a showcase of ways that people are reflecting that we are not passive, old, uncreative, etc. And so next week, the speakers are people who have created a business, who are entrepreneurs, and they will be sharing some of the things that they do. And then the question that I ask each speaker is, aside from what you've done and the way that you've pressed back against the bias you have experienced, what are things that other people can do? So next week, you will be hearing from 2 people that are entrepreneurs that will be sharing that information with you.
Can I impose on the group for 1 minute? It's actually 3 minutes, I think. I'm pushing the boundaries with my poetry, and I have a poem that is called The Cat, and it's a visual exploration. I'd like some feedback on it. This is really, really best heard with your eyes closed. Would you like to try it? I know I'm imposing on the group to stay a few minutes, but I'd love to share this.
No one's saying no.
No one's saying
go for it.
Go for it. The cat. Her mother taught her the hunt. It begins with watching, patiently watching the herd. The gazelles were grazing fresh grass from last night's rain. She watched and slowly moved a paw, placing it gently on a spot that would make no sound, letting the swaying of the long grass hide her stealth. She watched for a sign. There was always a sign, be it a twinge of the leg, a distraction by some less lush undergrowth. She knew the signs well, and she watched. Cat noticed the slight twinge of the gazelle as the gazelle moved to fresher grass. Something was causing a momentary lag, a slight hesitation. Age, a festering insect bite, an injured muscle, it didn't matter. Looking for this slight hesitation was why Cheetah watched. Her breath quickened. She stole into the long grass to get closer. Softly, ever so softly, the cat moved. She moved like shadows move when long grass catches the wind. The gazelle straightened, alert, smelling the wind. The cheetah knew the scene. She knew her prey would wait a moment and then return to her forage. At the very moment when the gazelle dipped her head to graze, the chase was on. The cheetah burst forth from her camouflage and in an instant was at full speed. The gazelle heard and saw the danger she had felt. She bolted, also gaining top speed in an instant. The cat's powerful real legs were driving her forward while her front paws made sure of her direction, claws occasionally digging into the dirt to follow the nimble gyrations of the fleeing gazelle. Gazelle looked for an escape route, twisted left, leaping the remnants of a fallen tree, easily clearing the obstacle and again changing direction as she landed. Cheetah didn't notice she was using her tail for balance, nor did she notice the power of her muscles as the cat cleared the tree. She didn't notice her heart racing to supply aerated blood to the muscles, nor did she feel the adrenaline that spurred her forward. Her focus was totally on the twists and turns of her prey. Given enough time, a gazelle can outrun a cheetah. The cat had to decide, was it time to break off the chase, or can the gazelle be caught? Using her last effort, she lunged forward, and with a powerful swipe, her paw dug into the crop muscle just above the gazelle's tail. Gazelle kicked back hard and veered sharply to the left, breaking free. Cat remembered her mother's teaching and sprang an even tighter turn left. Along her prey now, she reached out, her claws digging deeply into the gazelle's flank, both falling to the ground, tumbling over and over. The gazelle struggled to rise up, but the cat was at her throat, crushing gazelle's windpipe with her powerful jaws. The gazelle kicked at the cat with sharp hooves, but to no avail. After moments of struggle, the gazelle lay motionless. The chase was over, and nature had run its course. There was no malice, no anger, no greed, no sadness. It was just another day at the office. Nature's way of maintaining balance was met. The cat will eat tonight, and so will her kittens. End of poem.
Amazing.
can actually see it. I can actually see the whole thing taking place, you know.
Yeah, there was some beautiful phrasing in there, Neil. Like she moved as a shadow moves. I thought that was wonderful.
Beautiful.
She gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, very nice.
And the ending: no malice, no anger, no grief.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very lovely, actually.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Like you can actually see it all happening in front of you.
Right. Very powerful imagery.
Yeah.
And I closed my eyes, so that created a better effect. Wonderful poem, Neil.
I totally agree. The imagery is wonderful. Yeah, I was following every scene.
Beautiful. Well read, too. Well read. Yeah.
The interesting thing was that, you know, it was very painful because I was hoping the gazelle would get away. And we said, no malice, because when we look in especially within the animal world, and probably within humans too, there are things that they do that seem inhumane to another species, but it's the nature of the cat. The cat eats meat and it feeds its children. So it was just an interesting, you know.
That's why I added the line, the cat will eat tonight and so will her kitten.
And so will her kittens.
That's
right.
Really what the case was all about.
Yeah. I must say I was a little surprised because when you said the title was The Cat, I was expecting it to be about a domestic cat. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I was hoping that the gazelle would escape because you were comparing two animals that are really good, swift, and fast.
I
was pulling for the gazelle when this computer was going backwards. I said, maybe it's a miracle the gazelle is going to
stop. Me too. I felt sad for the gazelle.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Hey, this is the joy in my life, is writing and reading, sharing my words. It's sharing my ideas. This is where the joy comes into my life. So thank you.
It brings us a lot of joy also. So thank you, Neil.
And so next week we can continue with, Neil writes a poem every week. So that could be a mark because I know others of you write poems, memoirs, stories. I'm looking to hear them and hear them in episodes. Oh, so this conference that I'm attending, Women in Publishing, they have said there's an increase, very much a market increase in audiobooks. And so since we have the technology and the means to do it, remember, Jesse will make some times available. I'll make some times available. And we usually do the recordings on Tuesday. So just think about things that are, you know, 3 to 8 minutes long. Each person can have up to 15 minutes in their particular part of the easy listening part of our Powered by Age webcast. So just let me know and we will get them. I want to see the blanketed, the easy listening section. People say, oh, you have to get to that easy listening section on the Powered by Age website. So I will see you all again next week and hear what you bring to the table. Remember to invite a friend.
Thank you, people. Love
you.
Thank you.
Lovely poem, Lee. Thank you. It was a beautiful poem. Really enjoyed listening to that.
Two beautiful ones. Thank you.
It was very nice. Very, very nice indeed.
But we're so glad to have had Leisha Keys, This Girl is on Fire, put us on fire while we are sitting. And we encourage you to get up and move as you have a day where you might be doing lots of driving or lots of sitting in meetings. I'm Charlotte Farrell. I'll see you again next week at 10. And remember, I always say it's love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. To untie all life's ringers. Poem time. Love.